Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight. To plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29th District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, to stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank B-Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, support your black business. Should black support black businesses and entrepreneurs? Should black businesses and entrepreneurs support the black community? Is it enough to increase the profits of black businesses and entrepreneurs? Well, I had a conversation with some people at the street level, as usual, about supporting black entrepreneurs, plumbing contractors, electricians, mechanics, etc. A major complaint was, from their experience, the black contractors, or some, did not do good work, did not stand behind their work, did not clean up after working well, and that they did not do good work. Not all of them, some of them. That is probably not a black thing, but it will discourage blacks from preferring the services of black contractors. So we have to be, you know, mindful of what we do when we come into people's homes or work on their automobiles and things like that. So, you know, or, you know, if you're a dentist, you know, kind of work you're doing someone's mouth. So we talked about what are our black businesses. One of the questions we had were, what are black businesses contributing to the black community? Like, what are they doing? What are these people that people say that we should support? What are they doing for the black community outside of getting, you know, paid for providing a service? I said, apparently some bad apples are spoiling the whole bunch. Trust and accountability are priceless. Okay, because you know how we, sometimes people just, you know, just like with dogs, you get bit by one dog, you're scared of all dogs. So you get burnt by one or two contractors, they just happen to be black. You might shy away from them, as you definitely won't prefer them, a black contractor. You might meet one that does the right thing. That's pretty good. It's, you know, handling a business in a professional way, does good work, follow up, and all that good stuff, right? So their blackness has really nothing to do with it, but sometimes we make that a part of it and a part of how we feel and decisions that we make. Not just being black, white, Chinese, and everything like that. We're not talking about that. We're just focusing on black folks for tonight. So, you know, you got to be very mindful because you may, you know, there are guys out there that do shoddy work, take the money and do half of the job, take that half of that money, and that's all they're going to do, leave you hanging, you know, with your kitchen or your bathroom halfway done, and they never come back. That happens. And you guys are representing other guys that do the same work. You understand that you may not view it that way, but you are representing everyone like you that performs that task, that job. So you have to be a stand-up guy when you take these jobs on. Providing goods and services at a similar rate as white-owned businesses is not a contribution. It's an exchange. As well, just things that we talked about. What are black-owned businesses contributing to the black community that they should have the allegiance of the black consumer? Like, what are they doing in the black community that black folks, you know, oh, okay, we don't, look here, everybody, y'all want plumbing supplies? Go down to Joe's plumbing supplies. So you got the plumbing supplies that we could use and support that black business. So what is Joe's doing for the black community, you know? So what are they doing that they should, you know, that they should have their allegiance? You know, how does that all benefit? How do everybody benefit from that? What allegiance does the black-owned businesses have to the community? Do black-owned businesses feel they have an allegiance to the all-black community? Which is an interesting question, because that's something you would have to ask every black-owned business, every person that owns a black business. You know, are they contributors other than the work that they do to the community? To, you know, and what does the black community want from black-owned businesses? What do you want from you? Keep, you know, if we're gonna ask, you know, for something other than the service that we pay for from black businesses, for our allegiance, what is it is required, in anyone's opinion, you don't have to be a politician to answer this question, to have an opinion about this. What is it that you, being a black person in the black community, will require for your allegiance to a black business? Quizlet said, what does this say? Why did African Americans develop their own business districts? Said, because it was easier to build a better life for themselves than to be denied in a white community. They founded the neighborhood union to provide the African American community with medical, educational, employment, and recreational services. That's very, very important right there. I'm just going to read it again. That's really important, you know, because we really, I can't even say we're off the track. I don't even think we have tracks at some aspects of our community. You know, some people are on the track, off the track, and some people are not. They're not even on the track at all. You understand what I'm saying? So they talk about why African Americans develop their own business district. Okay. Now, that takes unity to do that. That takes support. That takes a lot of things to do that. Because it was easier to build a better life for themselves. Because it was easier to build a better life for themselves, okay, than to be denied in a white community. So can't depend on white folks to help you all the time. You're going to have to make, you know, things happen on your own, right? And there's nothing wrong with using what you have to get what you want. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm sure a lot of people feel this way in terms of being successful in any business adventure. You want to, build something for yourself. And, you know, you might be going trying to get the business loan, use what you have to get what you want. So. Black Wall Street. This is something I always like to refer to in terms of especially collective economic. This is an example for what you could do, especially in the time in which they did this in the United States. They did it at a time when it was lynching black folks. I guess lynching a person was like shooting bottles, I guess, back in those days. You know, you shoot bottle tops and stuff. I guess, you know, it wasn't really nothing. You know, and I guess lynching a person is probably nothing to the people that do it now. But I'm saying back then, it really was just something that could happen to you just because you were black. And, you know, black people weren't afforded a lot of privileges back in these days. Outward, like as in, like, you can't use that toilet right there. You can't eat in this restaurant. You need to come to the back if you want to order something here and all that kind of stuff, you know. So you really had a lot of open racism back in those days, right, which kind of made black folks force them to work together. Anyway, Black Wall Street, founded in 1906. Greenwood was developed on Indian territory, the vast area where Native American tribes had been forced to relocate. Is that where the Trail of Tears, did they relocate them over there? I'm talking to myself on the radio. Okay, shouldn't be doing that. Anyway, I'm thinking the Trail of Tears, like, from Seminoles all the way back over there to, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, that area encompasses much of modern-day eastern Oklahoma, as you know, so some of us know. African Americans who had been former slaves of the tribes, right? You know, the five civilized tribes, I don't know if people know about that, the five so-called civilized tribes, they had slaves, they supported the South, the Civil War, and things like that, and things, you know, basically they got the boot from the people, from the government. So eventually after the war, you know, they settled with the South. Then they went to free the slaves, they told the tribes, they couldn't have these slaves and stuff like that. Anyway, we're going to keep it moving because that's a whole other show, the five civilized, so-called civilized tribes. Okay. Anyway. They settled in eastern Oklahoma, where African-Americans had been former slaves of the tribes and subsequently integrated tribal community, acquired allotted land in Greenwood through the Dawes Act, okay, because they said that you got to give those slaves the same privileges that we, the United States government, gave you, okay, that's what that was about. So, anyway, Native American, and many black sharecroppers fleeing racial oppression relocated to the region as well in search of a better life post-Civil War, which is nice, you know what I'm saying, but you know ethnically. So Oklahoma began to be promoted as a safe haven for African-Americans who start to come, particularly post-emancipation to Indian territory, says Michelle Place, executive director of the Tulsa Historical Society and Museum. Now, key word here to me is Oklahoma begins to be promoted as a safe haven for African Americans who start to come, particularly post emancipation to Indian territory. Because I don't know if you know about this whole thing, the relationship with the U.S. government and the five tribes. What is it? Southern government, the Confederate government. Basically, they wanted any runaway slave, terrorize them, kill them, you know, just to deter slaves from running away. So, you know, they had this deal going on with those guys. And for Oklahoma to be a safe haven, that's a big deal right there. All right, so that's post-Civil War. Anyway, like I said, that's part of another story, though. It seemed like almost like I should have told that story before I even mentioned this, so that I could just read it. Anyway, Greenwood became self-contained and it became a self-contained and reliant place for blacks. That means that whatever they needed, they had. They needed water, they had it. They needed education, they had it. They needed a doctor, they had a doctor. And he brown. He has, you know what I'm saying? And they had everything they needed there. So Smitherman, a publisher whose family moved to Indian Territory in the 1890s, founded the Tulsa Star, a black newspaper headquartered in Greenwood, that became instrumental in establishing the district so socially conscious mindset. Another key words here: establishing the district, the community of Greenwood, socially conscious mindset, a newspaper, something that communicated to people in Greenwood that established, right, reiterated, issued out, right, a socially conscious mindset to the people. The newspaper regularly informed African Americans about their legal rights and any court rulings or legislation that were beneficial or harmful to their community. All right? That's very important. So what we have here, we have a safe place, right? And we have a socially conscious mindset. Safe place, socially conscious mindset. I'm going to keep saying that because that's very important. And this is a good example. If you get a chance, please look up Black Wall Street, read about it, how these people survived and prospered during a time in which people were literally killing them at will. Okay, on Greenwood Avenue, there were luxury shops, restaurants, grocery stores, hotels, jewelry and clothing stores, movie theaters, barbershops and saloons, and library, right? Everything is just not fun and games, right? Pool halls, nightclubs, and offices for doctors, lawyers, and dentists. Okay, you can have a well-rounded ecosystem, right? In order to be self-contained, self-reliant, you have to be well-rounded. You see, to have the things that you need. See, that's a lot of things that you need, things that you want, right? Movies, you don't need theaters, but there they have them, right? You don't need nightclubs, right? Pool hall. They had, they were available there if you wanted to shoot some pool. So Greenwood also had its own school system, right? Because you got to educate your population. You can't have your population not going to school, okay? So, that, you know, it was safe. It's very important. Socially conscious. Educated. Now, let's look at our community today, some of the black communities today. All right? The ones I frequent, are they safe? No. Are they socially conscious? No. And there are socially conscious individuals and groups in those communities? Yes. But is the community itself a socially conscious community? No. Are they educated? Well, we have a high truancy rate. I'm talking about starting elementary school. Truancy is rampant. So are they educated? Not as educated as they need to be. We have people graduating from high school, right, that can read. No, forget the graduating from high school that can't read. Graduating from elementary school that can't read, because by the sixth grade, you should be able to read. All right? So, safe, socially conscious, and educated. All right? Greenwood was home to far less affluent African Americans as well. So, everybody went in wasn't making a whole lot of money. Oh, we have a call already. Let me take this call, y'all. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought, 0025.
Hello? How you doing? Hello?
How you doing, bro?
This is Jim. Pretty good, bro.
Jim, how you doing, bro?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. I like a couple of my friends, man, you know, I kind of noticed that I don't think that all black people, like, can be put into the group of, like, because, you know, he wants to help all black people, and I understand where he's coming from. I did, too, at one point, but I realized that a lot of black people want to serve white people, and you can't, I tried, man, for over 10 years, like, they will rather see you dead and be the servant of their master. Like, there's something you mentioned a couple minutes ago about civilized tribes that were here. But they had slaves. So,
right.
You know, I wonder, like, how could somebody be civilized with slaves? Like, you know, I think that, you know, the word civil, when I talk to people, I say Western civilization, there's no such thing, because civil is when you treat each other, you know, politely, you have a civil society.
Right.
You don't even have white people that do that to each other. Never.
Right.
You see, so
that's right.
The whole, yeah, you know, so I'm like, this is like a make-believe land. Like this guy wrote a book, The Culture of Make-Believe. And I was reading some of it. And the first page, I mean, the book is like 700 pages. I was like, I'm not reading this whole thing. But I said, let me read the first page. My friend goes, look, man, here, just take the book. You ain't even got to give it back. And I read the first page about 1920, about a guy who killed the white guys. And then the Klan, I think it was in like one of the Carolinas, went around and they just killed some black dude, which was this lady's husband. She, you know, black lady, she was pregnant 8 months. They killed her husband. So she went to the newspaper, and this is 1920 now. It was like these, you know, so-and-so, this and that. A mob of white people went to her house, drug her out, hung her, cut the baby open, stepped on the head of the baby, shot her like over 100 times. And I'm saying, this is 1920. It's like when I hear people say white supremacy, I feel for that brother because he's so stupid. There's nothing supreme. It is terrorism. It's straight up terrorism. It's white terror. I don't know if even white terror, because white people get terrorized by white people. But there's one thing for sure. If you're black and you're dark, there is no place on the earth that they will let you say, this is mine. Like I was telling somebody, he said, oh, well, what do you mean there's places that white people shouldn't be able to go? I said, you don't think black people should have any sovereignty? I said, there's places where nobody but white people can go that are stolen from other people's lands. Like right here in America, there's places where only white people can go. And I hear brothers saying, oh, I can live anywhere I want to live. I'm in America. And I realized, I said, this guy is worse. A white guy who's actually say, yeah, man, this is messed up. I'm not with that. He's cooler to me than some of these house Negroes. I mean, they are, if black people, and I thought about it scientifically, I said, okay, black people are the strongest people on the planet. The only thing that can hold us back are black people. And that's what's happening. They are controlled by white people, and that's why we can't get nothing changed, especially in entertainment. If you go to entertainment, any black entertainment gets raped, pillaged, and plundered by black people. I mean, when I look at the black entertainment, they might as well just come out with Coon magazine and put all of these Negroes on there, because I cannot find a person, like, they got money and all of this. And I'm saying, damn, you know, we need help. You could come to a community and buy a freaking store for 30 grand somewhere. You could go to Detroit, still doesn't have drinkable water for years now.
Right.
You know, and nobody, I hear people talking about stuff, and I'm like, now I know why people used to go out and just shoot people dead in their face. It's like back in the day, it was more real. And now I realize, I said, the biggest enemy right now is black people, because I can't see them coming. You see them, hey, what's up, brother? You can't see them coming. And that's why for over 100 years, somebody said, oh, slavery, this and that. I said, the last case of slavery was in the 60s, and it was only because they grabbed a white boy and they beat him to death, like on the docks. And then it was, oh, we got to stop this. But, you know, before that, all in the 1900s, brothers was being kidnapped, tortured, shot, right, all types of stuff. You know, so right. I wonder, because I look at black businesses here in New York, and I said, these brothers are like the biggest sellouts. Like, they are disgusting. It's like, why? Even the ones that are all black, the Hope Tep Negroes and all of that. And I'm saying, you know what, man? You ain't even trying to help me, but you want me to put my money. And yeah, there's a point. Of course, I shouldn't be spending my money with the Klan, which owns half of the shit that we buy. Pardon my language. You know, because when we buy something, like I remember when I was younger, they came out with those sneakers, Troops. And then somebody was telling me, yo, the Klan makes those, man. You know, and then the Timberland boots. You know, one lady was telling me, that's the tree that they hung us from. The Nautica shirt. She goes, that's the ships that they sailed us over on. She was going down the line with the polo. They hunted us on the horses. Yeah. And I'm saying, why? You know, I wear a blank T-shirt. You know, it's sad. I got Nike stuff from old. And it's like, man, I look at that and I say, wow, I am so surrounded by this. Like, they probably like, look at this monkey wearing this. This guy will never, he will be ignorant for the rest of his life. And I know that they're saying that, because when I wake up to that, I said, man, I remember when I used to wear the clown wear, when I had to have a pair of Tims.
Right.
And yeah, I don't think we could, I think, it, and when I say I don't think, you know, we could support the black, but there are some black businesses we can support to help us, but that's the hard part, to see who is really cool and who is not. Like one brother, he got a wife, two kids. I said, look, man, if something went down, I said, I don't expect you, I won't get mad at you. I know you're going to rat. You got a wife and two kids. You think you're going to do decades for me? And you'll stand here and say, oh, nah, man, nah, I got to be smart enough to know that you will. And I got to be cool enough to say, look, let me just put you to the side, because that's the problem. You know, because he's a brother that's like, oh, you know, we got to help black people, this and that. And I was like, yo, man, you all live right. your life like a Christian. He's, oh, I'm Christian-like, I'm Christian. I'm like, do you know the first slave ship that hit Jamestown was called the slave ship Jesus? Like, Christians don't like to hear when I say that, especially white Christians. They're like, oh, you know, I'm like, yeah, slave ship Jesus, right? And then to put on top of that, the criminal, the picture they have, like one of the pictures with the dark-haired Jesus, dark-eyed, that's a portrait of an Italian criminal, Caesar Borgia or something like that. So if people look it up, it's like, okay, you got a criminal, a white criminal that you pray to. The name of the first slave ship was Jesus by John Hawkins, you know, bringing it over. Mm-hmm. And the person who destroyed it, I think it was the Spanish that destroyed that and some beef down in the Gulf of Mexico, because that was the only way the ship got destroyed. And now it's like what Colin Ferguson is doing with the NFL. I can understand where he's coming from. I never watched football for decades. I told people, I said, you know what that is? Run, Negro, run. Throw, Negro, throw. Jump, Negro, jump. I said, now I understand. They're giving you millions of dollars. You come from the places we come from here in Brooklyn and all these other places, and it is a garbage bin. I said, I don't even want to be around some other black people, because I say, damn, all you do is a crab in a bucket and pull me down. Anytime I try to get out this bucket, these brothers running back, pulling me down. I said, when you see me in another town, don't say hi to me. I don't want you to say, no. If you see me in the ghetto, fine. If you see me in another town, act like you don't know me. And they get mad. And I said, that's the only way. I said, it's the only way we're going to. I said, I don't know what to do, but I know what not to do. I know it's not supporting you. You know, like some brothers, I'll say, yeah, where are we going to go with this? So it takes like school. All I remember, I was in second grade. I look up at the top of the classroom. All I see is white faces, 50 or more. You know, when I think of the stuff I went through, and I say, wow, if I say, you know, everybody thinks I'm crazy. If I say something like, oh, why you think? It's like, look, man, do that to a kid. That's torture. Like terrorism, like I said, it's like white torture, white terrorism. People ask me why the world is so messed up. I said, the world is so messed up because white ain't right. And we've been taught, and this was law that was in America and the world, that white was right. No non-white man could testify in court for or against a white man, I think up until civil rights almost. So you're looking at look at the barbarism. Like you were saying, oh, you know, go around to the back. My man's father, he just passed. He was 80. He was in the Navy. And he told me, he said, you know, in the 50s, he goes, I had these two white boys I was bunking with in the Navy. We went to get food before we got shipped out. And the lady served that guy. And she was like, honey, you want some food? He was like, yeah. She goes, just go around to the back. And he goes, man, I started to shake. He goes, I went back to the barracks, and the white boys brought some food, and he was like, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. And the saddest thing was Pops was the type of person I used to see how he used to kowtow when white people were around, and it used to bleed me. It was so sad because he was such a cool guy, and his whole family ate him alive. I remember going over there, seeing him, and he's like, man, he took it. His son got cracked out. He was a real cool dude, Jay. Got with this crack hoe, had a kid with her. She had a kid before that. She was a sister. And he took in the boy and Jay's daughter. And I remember the boy, now he's like in his 20s, and he was like, man, he goes, I got to go to the doctor. Kid don't even want to take me to the doctor. He was, the kid don't want to do this. And I said, yep. I said, that's because you can't help all black people, man. And he never would have seen. He was like, you're wrong. Okay, I'm wrong. And you're getting eaten alive by them. And I see these brothers here. It's actually pathetic. And it makes me almost to the point where I'm ashamed to be social. I try to distinguish myself to say, look, please don't mistake me for anybody else but me. And the only way I can do that is not even trying to look like these guys. It's like if they wear that, I wear this. I don't want to be a, I want somebody to see me and say, oh no, that guy looks different. I don't think he's like the rest, and find other brothers like myself.
Good luck with that, because you can't change the color of your skin.
No, no, no. I'm not trying to, but I'm just saying that when somebody see, like when I see brothers dressed, like I was in the library, this brother comes
exactly
in with his kid.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know,
know
and I'm
I
like,
you're
so in the library. Yeah, and I'm like, right. Why are you? It embarrassed me. It was kind of like that movie Crash when the dude, right. When Ludacris tried to stick him up, and he goes, "You embarrass yourself. You embarrass me." And right. I can understand that. I can understand that. But I have love for all people. The problem is they don't got love for me.
That's right. They got to keep that in mind. But so you're saying black businesses don't support the black community?
No,
is that what you're saying?
Not all. I would say 10% out of 100, so 90% don't. Because if black businesses supported black communities, this is what I would say. If I could think of this, a guy that's trying to be an entrepreneur, to say, look, you see these businesses with the storefront or two storefronts, and you got the three apartments upstairs. I said, that's the type of business you get, because either the storefronts or the apartments is going to pay the note for that whole building. So you only got to rent half, and the other half is profit. So how about you got your stores, and how about you put some people up in the top where when you buy the building, okay, your note is going to be cheap. You're going to have, like, you can get a house and be like, yo, I got this house, it's 5-bedroom, I only pay $1,800 or $1,500. People rent them, you can't get them for less than $28,000, $3,000. You rent the house to a black people and say, look, give me $1,800. Anything goes wrong, whatever, you take care of it. So I don't want to hear, yo, this needs fix, this needs painting. No, that's why I'm giving it to you at cost. You're not going to mess up my loan, and you're going to make sure to, you know, sign this contract, whatever. Or go to Section 8. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to weed out the brothers. You got to weed them out. They're like crabs. They will crawl upon you. Oh, man, you ain't not. Get out of here. Take your kids and your girl. Go. Bye. Next. And when you get those good people, you say, okay, y'all staying here. I know you're going to take care of that. Y'all, you know, you all got, you know, you work and you got your stuff. And then underneath is the business. Now the business is doing well. The upstairs is doing well. You can get the next one. And then you can get the next one. But it can only work with trustworthy people. Because my man had a barbershop, and I asked him, I said, why'd you leave, man? He said, man, I was there for 10 years. He goes, brothers just kept getting over on me. And I was like, you know something? I said, I totally understand. I never said nothing. I said, because dudes would say, oh, man, he don't want us puffing outside the shop. I'll just blow my shit right outside the shop. And I'm like, and I was too stupid to say nothing back then, you know, to be like, yeah, that's wrong. You know, I'd be like, yeah, maybe he is kind of being a little harsh. But then I realized he was right. It's like, look, man, if you come in here, I want you smelling like weed. I want you here on time. I don't want you coming here all Negroed out. And I want this to be a respectable establishment. But you can't, you know, you can't have that in the hood. You just can't. You can have it maybe on the outskirts of the hood, but you can't. I mean, I see white businesses in the hood here that are respectable business. When you walk in, I say, wait a minute, if they can keep this like this, well, then what's the excuse? The excuse is 6 degrees of separation. This is why when you date, like, white people, if they got hillbilly family, they cut them off. They're not. They ain't related to us. Gone. Brothers, you can't meet a black person that ain't got a tie to some Negroes in the ghetto, or some hood will come out of them. You know, like, they'll be acting respectable. Yo, what's up, man? Yo, and it's like, nah, you got to kill that, man. That you got to kill that. It's got to die, or you got to go away. And that is hard, because you're going to lose almost, you might lose all your friends and have to build back new ones. And it's hard because you don't want the house Negroes, you know, because a lot of them would be like, oh yeah, I don't like blacks either. I'm like, I'm not saying I don't like blacks, man, you know, because they'll misconstrue that. It's a tough predicament, but, you know, I appreciate you having a show like this and talking about it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you calling in.
All right, bro.
Okay, we have another caller, Jim. Thanks for calling in, Jim. 9644. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Thanks for waiting. Hello.
How you doing, man?
How you doing, brother?
All right. Now, what's going on now?
Well, tonight we're discussing supporting black business entrepreneurs and those businesses and entrepreneurs supporting the black community. And where does it happen? How does it happen? If it happens, have you experienced it? What's your take on it?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, considering the fact that we live in America, you dig what I'm saying? Like, black folks are actually able to start businesses over here. If you go to a lot of other countries, especially in the African coast, without corruption, that'll be very hard for you. But America, they kind of give leeway to anybody that can come up with capital and a product that they can sell, including themselves. You dig, podcasts and video feeds and stuff like that, you know, streaming. And we have a whole thing over here, though, right? So anybody's pretty much able to start a business over here if they're willing to take the risk on. And everybody that starts a business in this country has a risk to take. You dig, no matter if they're different than the next man's risk, it's still a risk to that person. So that's the one damn thing, though. And matter of fact, though, brother, like, dude, black businesses have grown substantially over the last 50 years. I'm talking about substantially, my dude, especially in the last 20 years. I mean, bro, black businesses, my dude, them shits is booming, my dude. You got internet sensations. You got music artists like Beyonce and Jay-Z that's the top artist in the world. You got like Ben Carson that's the top surgeon in America. It's so much things that, everybody's able to do over here because we have these laws. What happens is that a lot of people, brother, they try to look at other countries and compare them. But, dude, if you want to do that, bro, like, I advise anybody that looks at those other countries to compare us to them, I advise them people to go live over there and try to start a business there and see how that goes, and then come back and tell us if it works. And if it does, tell us how that worked. You dig what I'm saying? So we might could build on that. But I'm telling you, brother, you might have a hard damn time, you dig, starting a free business without nobody getting up in your pockets like that for real, though. Because one thing about America, my dude, we have Democrats, brother, we have Republicans, and we have, you know what I'm saying, conservatives. And what happens is conservatives are the ones that believe in this very small government. We don't want government all up in our damn business when we buy property. We don't want them up in our damn business, you dig, when we try to start a damn business and shit, taxing us like crazy. You dig, conservatives have these principles that we don't want big government. We don't want them coming in and taking out of our damn pockets whatever we build up over here. The problem is, you know, a lot of the Democratic, you know, things, you know, that they want bigger government, you dig, they want socialism and all these people that come get in your pockets when you want to start some shit. You dig, like, whenever you want to start a business, they're going to come take a big chunk of that because they have to support everybody that's on their side. You know, the people that don't want to do that, you know, the people that don't want to work. It's not the same thing as talking about the elderly or the disabled. You know, that's one damn thing. But the left, is they had went so far to say that, you know, they just want socialism. You know, and socialism means big government, and big government means more regulations, and more regulations mean the stricter that we get as a country to be able to pursue our pursuit of happiness, which is in the Constitution. You dig? So the fact of the matter is, bro, we don't want bigger government, bro. We want smaller government. I think they're already too damn big. You dig? Because if somebody tries to start a damn business, like anybody you know that's done started a business, ask them how many damn taxes they got to pay for this, that, and the third. It's crazy. You dig? Like, they try to make it so damn hard, my dude. It's ridiculous. You understand me? So what I would say, brother, is that, you know, I think everybody in the damn country, no matter your color or gender, bro, I think everybody should try to vote a very solid conservative in the office so that we can get these type of things passed, so that we can get government smaller, so that the more we start businesses, we have less red tape to jump through. You dig? Because the government likes to come fuck with our pockets. They like to come fuck with our profits. They like to come tell us that if we make this much a year, we got to pay them this much, X amount, and all that shit. That's got to stop, my dude. Like, bro, we need to be able to damn live in America. But we're able to do that, you know, and I don't want nobody telling me that nobody can't start a business over here, my dude. They'd be lying if they said that, dude. Like, everybody could do it, but the government makes it aggravating as shit. Therefore, a lot of people don't do that. You dig what I'm saying? And a lot of people are actually on government assistance. And they actually love the damn government, you know, because the government gives them health care, they give them free housing and cheap housing. The government protects them, you dig what I'm saying? So they don't want to go against that. The problem is, when you do that, though, brother, like, how are you going to expand your community, you dig, when all of them is pretty much spoiled to the fact that they have a pacifier in their mouth?
Right.
You dig, this shit, it don't really much make a lot of sense to me, though, my dude, because America gives everybody over here freedom, if you're a citizen, to, you know, to pursue the happiness in the Constitution. The government is literally trying to take away our constitutional rights one by one. First, they tried to attack the damn freedom of speech. Second, they tried to attack the Second Amendment, which is the, you know, the whole we have a right to bear arms against a tyrannical government. You know, and now they're one by one trying to go through the damn Constitution and take our rights away. You dig? Well, me and you both, my dude, we had these rights that we was born with, you know, which is the pursuit of happiness. You know, we able to buy property and start up businesses without them all up in our pockets and shit. But what happened is, don't nobody think about this. Everybody wants to put it on just one class of people. It's not just one class of people, my dude. It's the left side of the government that wants to control the entire damn country. They want to be all up in our damn pockets and shit. You did. But if you talk to somebody that don't know no better, they'll tell you that, oh, it's just whites. You know, it's just black, whatever it is. Like, they'll tell you that. They try to put it on one group, but they don't understand, bro. It's the government, man. We don't want big government over here. We don't want them. They was when the Constitution was wrote, my dude, they was only there for a handful of jobs. That's it. Especially foreign policy and that type of stuff, though, because how many damn Americans is really traveling overseas talking to the damn prime minister and presidents of other countries? It's very small. So the president, you know, and all these government officials was meant to do, like, foreign stuff, you dig, trade deals and stuff like that. But what happened is they got out of fucking control, and we didn't stop them. You dig, now they're in every aspect of your damn life. When you buy property, you know how many taxes you got to pay on that property every year? It's crazy. They ain't supposed to do that. You understand me, though? So when people vote, they need to stop looking at how somebody look. You dig, they need to look at their principles. And conservatives, dude, they want small government, bro. We don't want them up in our business like that. You dig, we believe that everybody in this damn country is free. And we believe everybody in this damn country has the pursuit of happiness. And if you don't, I will stand alongside you, dog, and fight that shit to the damn death, because there is foul people over it. Absolutely. But if you look at the rest of the damn country, look, there was this woman that was asked this, right? She was asked, you know, the dude told her, she was like, okay, he was like, okay, so white people, you dig, we should feel damn guilty, you know what I'm saying? We should feel bad. We should be ashamed of ourselves for whatever happened. And the lady said, no, I don't think we should feel ashamed of ourselves. And the man said, okay, so what, you know, we ain't going to feel sorry for ourselves about building the best nation in the world. And she was like, no, this ain't the best nation. So the dude said, okay, so what is your best nation? And she started naming a bunch of countries, you dig what I'm saying? And the dude was like, okay, so you talking about European countries? You dig, like, you talking about Europe? You know, you ain't talking about Turkey. You damn sure ain't talking about Eastern Europe with the communists. So every damn time they can give you an example of a better place than America, it's a place that's more white than America. And I find that very statistically, it's something to that. I mean, bro, every damn time these people give you a better scenario than America, it's a place that's more indigenously white than America. And I think that's very something that people need to look at, though, and stop being ignorant to the fact that, like, how many countries you know have a better system than America? And they'll tell you a couple of them, but if you look at those countries that they tell you that, they're more white than America is. We're a very diverse nation. But if you look at those damn countries that they try to tell us have a better policy and all that in government than we have, they're majority white countries. You know, and that blew my mind when I found that out. I'm like, damn, you dig? That actually makes sense, you know? Like, fuck. So what the hell really going on, you dig? And what I found out was that no matter what your color is, you dig what I'm saying, over in America, bro, people are very spoiled. You dig? The freedom has spoiled people. And what happened is you got these damn people that come into these people's lives, and they talk very good. They say a lot of big words very fast, you dig what I'm saying, and they scream very loud when they say these damn things. And what happened is they're really promoting diversity in the country, because they talk about white supremacy, but I've seen a very large amount of black supremacy and Hispanic supremacy and also Asian supremacy in this country. You know, when I look at people like Farrakhan, you know, he's a very black supremacist guy, very black supremacist. You know, can't nobody really dispute that, my dude, because if you look at any of his videos and talks, you'll absolutely see that for yourself. You know, there's white supremacy, there's black supremacy, there's Asian. Matter of fact, we talk about Asians, bro. Asians, they're more educated than whites in this country. They make more jobs than whites in this damn country. You know what I'm saying? They're less likely to be involved in crime in this country than whites. You know, so if we're going to talk about white privilege, brother, like everything you can say about white privilege is more prevalent in the Asian American community than anywhere. But don't nobody understand it. Like, nobody knows this at all because don't nobody tell them. They want to promote this whole racial divide between people. But Asian Americans have it way better than whites and blacks in this damn country. So why ain't nobody talking about that damn shit? Why ain't nobody over there trying to debunk Asian privilege versus anything else? Like, they doing better than whites in this country. They're way more educated. They damn sure make way more money than whites do because they're very educated and they know what they're doing. They go back and forth to country, make good money, build businesses. You dig? Like, don't nobody talk about this, though. Like, it's like nobody knows. And that shit kind of blows my mind. You dig? I'm worried about black and whites in this country that was born here as American citizens. I'm worried about us.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? But everybody else try to play this whole left side, right side, you dig? White, blacks, gays, trans. It's a mess, man. Like, when the hell are people going to bring common sense back, you dig, and realize that this country is not, it's not a bad country. It's one of the best damn countries on this side of the world. And if you want to take me to another country that's better than America, I guarantee you that it's majority white country. So how do we explain
so why would that
to people that don't know no better?
Majority white country would be better. Why would a country that's majority white be better than a country that was had multi?
No, I don't think that, brother. That was actually a leftist person that said this. And every time that she gave an example of these different countries that was better than America, they was majority white.
Oh, so you know, she
said, it blew
so
my mind.
Saying,
yeah, it blew my mind.
White is right. White is right.
Well, I don't have a problem with being white. You dig what I'm saying? I don't think I did nothing to nobody. But what happened is the lady was telling us, like, every example that she gave us of a country that was better than America, it was a majority white country. And that kind of blew my mind.
Right.
I'm like, oh, shit. How the fuck we going to explain that now over here in America with race relations so goddamn timid right now? How the fuck we going to explain that damn shit? You dig what I'm saying? But don't nobody know that, though. Nobody looks at that shit because it fucks with their mind state. And they've been fed this narrative their whole life. I mean, they still on baby food, man. They don't understand. It's like, dude, every time you can give me a country that's doing better than America, it's a majority white country. And that don't mean that white people are superior. It just means that there's something to that. So why don't we break
so
that down instead of pointing fingers?
What's true?
Well,
what I think is,
well, without sounding like a complete dickhead, my dude. Like, remember, we're just having a grown man conversation.
No,
like, I don't know you guys. I don't know you guys, brother.
Yeah.
I don't hate you guys. I love you guys. It's whatever, bro. Like, it ain't no problem.
Right.
But if we're going to talk about factual stuff, my dude, let's think about this, dog. Okay. Let's think about every race group, okay? Now, for in America, for instance, whites make up the majority of the population in America. So, of course, there's going to be more damn crime statistics and such and so on for whites because there's more of us here. But at the same damn time, you know, like blacks are lower, you know, percentage rate in the country. They're not much lower than whites, but they are lower. But they commit a way higher damn percentage of crimes than whites do in the country. And nobody wants to acknowledge that, dude. Like, it's fake or whatever. Like, we're just being racist. But it's just, I've never met a black person in my entire life, my dude. Anybody look like, I've never met anybody that wasn't doing something illegal. Never in my life. And if
really?
I did meet them, they went to college. Brother, if I did meet them, dog, they went to college. Brother, their parents was straight up. Their parents raised them to be better, dude. But I came from the hood, brother. I've never met nobody in the hood that did that. But they never met them in my life. Not nobody from the hood. It was very rare to see that, and that's a problem with me, though. You think, why the fuck is it
man.
So rare for parents in the hood to raise their children to be judges, lawyers, and doctors? Why are they so rare in the hood? Why has got to be somebody that act white? Why does it have to be a damn black person that people in the hood think that they acting white, they bougie, they Uncle Tom's? Why has got to be that, though? Why don't nobody support them, you know? Like, because your parents didn't raise you to be judges and lawyers and Supreme Court judges and government officials. Why the hell y'all got to look down on everybody that, you know what I'm saying? That shit don't make no sense to me.
I guess that's around social, being socially conscious then, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, I don't know if I'm conscious. I mean, I don't know much, but I'm a regular Joe, man. I ain't going to sit up in there like I'm some damn scholar and shit with a big vocabulary and all that, say a lot of words, big words fast and shit. I don't know, bro. All I know is a lot of shit don't add up, my dude. It's like people in the hood, dog. I mean, white people on a majority, They raise their damn kids to become damn judges, lawyers, doctors, government officials. I don't see that in the black and brown communities, bro. They don't raise their kids to do that. They raise their kids to get jobs, bro, because the parents don't know no goddamn better. And when the parents don't know no goddamn better, the kids ain't going to know no goddamn better. So I blame this shit on the parents. You dig? And the parents of the parents, bro. Like, don't nobody look at that, though. They want to sit there and holler about some goddamn systemic oppression. My dude, why is that, bro? As a matter of fact, there's 220 African-American federal judicial judges today. And there's also 146 African-American Article III judges. You know, if this country was so goddamn racist, that's a lot of goddamn African-American judges, bro. I don't even like using that word African-American. I just call them black folks.
Right. That's all right.
There's a lot of goddamn black
okay.
judges. There's a lot of goddamn black judges in this world, you dig? So what happens to the people that get convicted by those black judges? You know what happens? Everybody in the goddamn hood calls them Uncle Toms and coons and all this type of bullshit, right? So why the fuck ain't y'all supporting the black people that's in them positions of power? Why do y'all demonize them? You dig what I'm saying? And call them coons and Uncle Toms and, oh, you dancing for the white folk and all that. Why do y'all support Jay-Z and Beyonce, though? You dig what I'm saying? They ain't no, I don't understand. It's so weird. I don't understand none of this shit. I don't understand.
Okay. But I guess I've read about Jay-Z and Beyonce. They're doing a lot of stuff in a lot of contributions.
What they doing?
Different communities. They have foundations and things like that. Jay-Z, I think there's one of these kids that was murdered by police. He had the college fund for the two kids. So, you know, they're doing something.
So that's two kids.
You can look it up.
Yeah, no, what else you got?
It's a couple of things. I didn't go through the whole thing, but it was a few things. I didn't know he was doing anything, but, yeah, I read that, and I was okay.
So he sent two kids to college, and he's a Frank, right?
Well, not yet. If they want to go to college, he got them back. So,
right, so
he's
two
doing
kids,
some other
he still, you know, he can send them to college, so everybody considers him
a
damn saint. But what about all the black judges and black lawyers and black doctors of the world? What about them?
Yeah. It's not too many of them.
No, I just gave you the brother. There's 220 African-American federal court judges, and there's also 146 active American African-American Article III judges, brother. That's a lot. We only got 56, brother. That's a lot if you
right.
spread it out.
Yeah. That's
so what
a
happens
lot,
with them? Why don't nobody
don't
support them?
There.
I don't ever hear nobody talk about them.
But, I mean, we don't want to end up in front of those guys, do we?
Yeah, you want to support them, brother. You want to support them. Why not support them like
right.
you do Jay-Z and Beyonce? I don't understand this.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But you know what? Those guys, they're not being exposed through the media. Beyonce is a media sensation. So, I mean, both of them are. They're
She's
media
famous. She's
sensation.
Hollywood.
That
right, comes with
so
the
that's
territory.
Why.
Yeah,
right.
So y'all support them because they're Hollywood and not the judges?
Well, they're visible. That's why they have support. So people all know them through the media. But they don't know one of the people you just named. You know, the people that are numbered in the number that you just named. They don't know them.
I can give you all 220 names, but if you want me to go through the list, I got them right here in my face.
No, we don't have enough time for that. I got another
right.
caller. Matter of fact, I'm going to get that caller on also.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you calling in, brother, and your opinion is valued on this show, and this is a show for the average Joe. You don't have to be have a PhD. You didn't have to do any research to say what you
right.
feel and think. All right?
That's
Let's
good. I feel
mind.
Like a lot of people, the scholars, they be dumb for real, though, so I feel like that. But I appreciate you taking my call, brother.
Yeah. No, this is for the average Joe. That's all I
Already.
Am. All right?
Already, man. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, my brother.
Oh, yeah.
Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought. 4644.
Yeah, did he hang up?
Oh, let me see if he's still there. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
What's his name?
Yeah, I'm Jay, man. I'm calling from Georgia, big dog. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Jay, I want to tell you something.
Yes, sir.
What you said is the truth. And if I was there with you, I'd give you a big handshake.
All right.
What you
man.
Said is absolutely the truth. I'm your elder, and I'm telling you,
right.
you keep thinking like that and keep saying you need a little tune up, but overall what you said is true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And the man, and we have to realize, I mean, come to a conclusion, this man has just told you what the reality is. You know, all blacks not the same, and you're absolutely right. But see, the attention goes to these ones that's out here that's doing these terrible things. Now, there's a lot of blacks that's doing the right thing. And, you know, at these organizations, like this engineering organization, National Society of Black Engineers, and they national convention in Detroit, and they had two of them in, before that in 2017 and 2018. In Detroit, they had over 15,000 young black STEM students.
And they're very intelligent, by the way. Very.
And guess what? Lockheed Martin hired over 400 of them off the convention floor, not including them other organizations, which can be Amazon, Google, Boeing, Goldman Sachs, CIA, FBI, and the Department of Defense. The 2 years before that, Northrop Grumman, which is headquarters out of Mississippi, hired over 400 2 years in a row. So what are these kids doing, these young people doing, that everybody else is not doing? And don't say that those blacks that have made it don't go and try to suggest and give ideas to those that's down there in the inner cities and the public schools are struggling. Because them blacks will run your butt up out of that school trying to disseminate information. They will run you out of there. Because you know why? Because you got people that make money off of that failure. If you didn't have the students in the schools, and there's nothing to hold them accountable, whether the child passed or the child is doing well or failing. And we know, we've heard the story about football players coming out of college don't even can't even read and write, let alone the one. And they were talented enough to make it to the pros. What about all the ones that fell by the wayside? And that's all they taught is basketball, football. So what you said is absolutely true, man. And I think it'll work its way out. You know, everybody's not going to make it. I hate to see young people. They don't wake up in the morning wanting to be a failure. But, right, you know, when you come from a dysfunctional household, like you said, if the parents don't know, who's going to teach them?
And it's a race thing, you know. It's an intelligence thing, you dig? Like, people that know right from wrong, you dig, they know that they have certain freedoms over here. Some people don't know that, though, because their parents keep telling them that they're a victim of society, so nobody wants to help them and nobody wants to do anything for them. But what they don't realize is parents need to teach them how to double down on their constitutional rights as American citizens. Parents don't teach that.
They keep telling their kids
that there's a big white devil up there at the top that's going to eat their brains out when they get up there. Bro, it ain't that.
You know what they tell them? They talk about
real.
The days, these days. I ask them, what's the day's email address? What's their phone number? These days. And them. See, that's what the problems are. And you know, you talk about, you may mention about what Jay-Z and them is doing. And then you had a couple billionaires that's supposed to be paying the tuition at Morehouse. Well, here's the thing. That's okay if they want to do that. But black students, there are millions and millions of dollars, scholarship dollars, that go unclaimed every year. That's specifically for blacks. Why is this? Why is it that they are not claiming these millions of dollars of scholarship money, but they try to go to school and take out all these loans? And
I can
then,
tell you why, brother.
Wait a minute, hang on. Then they take majors that don't pay very much money. And
right,
the reason why is because they can't take the hard courses. Your athletes can't take them hard courses because they have been indoctrinated, where they have been conditioned for one direction. Not all of them, but way too many. So if you was capable to take these scholarships in, then you wouldn't have to be borrowing all that money. And then wouldn't no billionaires have to come along and pay your tuition and be all up in the news? Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you, though, brother, like, when it comes to black folks in America, my dude, like, when you got a thing like affirmative action in place, people say that, you know, the black community makes their strides in America as far as education goes, but I feel like if you take affirmative action out of the damn question, we'll really get to see the percentage of those that make it based on their intellect, and we won't see it based on government dictatorship. So what happens is a lot of people hear that word and they go fucking nuts in their damn head, though, right? You hear the word affirmative action, and they say, oh, well, you know, crack it is, crack it is, white folk did what. But they the ones gave it to you guys. I feel like get rid of that damn shit so that we can actually see the percentage of very smart black people that can make it on their own intelligence. You don't need no damn outside government force to get you into college. You dig? You're smart. Do it your goddamn self like everybody else. You dig what I'm saying? You take that shit off of the damn table, the real percentages will come out. And I hate the fact that people dispute that because it's a very real statement. You take that shit out of the equation, we'll see who really has a good education based on intellect. We'll really see that. But that shit's in the mix, though.
Well, everybody uses – see, blacks was made a special class in 1964. Then their leadership let everybody get in on that.
Yes,
Russians,
sir.
Koreans,
yes, sir.
Vietnamese.
Yes, sir.
So that
yes,
was
sir.
Dumb.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing wrong with having a leeway, but heck, nowadays everybody.
I believe
stuff.
If you're smart enough, you'll make it into
that. Oh yeah, you will.
And matter of fact, if you take that shit away, right? Then we'll really mm-hmm. see who the racists are in the damn country that won't let nobody in there. You dig? Based off intellect, because when we see their goddamn test scores, you dig? Before they get into college, and somebody don't let them in, even though
Man,
they got
look,
good test scores,
some
they
white
won't be
people
able to see out the racists
hell.
And be able to deal with them.
It's whites as dumb as you know who the smartest ethnic group in the country is? Them Nigerians.
No Asians, man.
No
Asians,
Nigerians
brother.
Nigerians have higher educational attainment than any other ethnic group. And being that they double degree, multi-degree, the type of income that they bring in per household is greater than whites and Asians. Asians about $87,000
right.
a year.
Okay. I didn't know
whites
that.
Are about
okay.
66. Blacks is 41. Hispanics is 54,000 a year. Hispanics don't pass blacks up.
Yeah.
That's crazy,
true.
Though, right,
bro?
That's crazy, though, right? My dude, I mean, like, everybody talk about white privilege and shit, but we struggling, too, goddamn it. Like, come on, man.
And then, too,
the
we want to make,
Asians,
like
struggling
you,
too.
Then, too, like you said, we want to make America strong.
Yes,
because this is the country we live in. You got companies like Boeing, General Dynamics. They hire a whole lot of black engineers and, you know, other technicians. Well, I want them to be able to make aircraft and weapons and everything else
yes,
and sell them because
yes,
you're keeping
sir.
Black people working. Where else they
yes,
going to
sir.
Find jobs like that where you can make damn good money, where you can have pensions, health care, buy a home, and be able to send your children to college or whatever they want to do? That's important.
Yeah, you damn sure ain't going to find that shit in Africa or the Congo or in Eastern Europe. You damn sure ain't going to find it over there, brother. You can't do none of that. In Canada,
no.
It ain't going to happen. Yeah.
So these people talking about we ain't Americans and all that old crazy-ass man. Well, that's the way you want to feel. But my kids ain't got to worry about ever competing against yours because you don't told your kids that, that's least their minds have to compete against. But, no, I'm going to get off of here. But I really appreciate what you say. And don't worry, that people going to call you all kind of names and things. You know, back during those marches in Montgomery, that was a black multi-millionaire by the name of A.G. Gaston. A.G. Gaston was in Birmingham, Alabama. When he died, he was worth about $130 million. A.G. Gaston spent over $350,000 of his own money bailing people out of them Birmingham jails. And the activists, he didn't want to use kids the way they was using them. See, they always use kids to get attention, whether it's in a serious,
yes.
They use kids down there with the water holes and dogs. They using kids on their southern border. They
the
always
Democratic
use these
Party
kids.
In America. Yeah, they do
uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
He didn't like that. And the activists called him Uncle Town, Uncle Tom and Sambo. This man spent $350,000 of his own money. He didn't have to bail them people out. He left them in jail. But that just goes to show you, some of these idiots out here are just plain fools. But,
right.
I'm going to let you guys go ahead and have your show back.
Hey, brother, that was amazing.
Okay, we
man.
Appreciate
you called in, man. That was amazing. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Okay, so as you were just talking about, you know, just to reiterate, I don't know if you guys, do you know about Tulsa or Oklahoma, Greenwood in 1906?
No, sir. Elaborate. No, sir.
Okay. Oh, let me see. Black Wall Street, that's what they called it back. It's famous for being called.
Right.
You know, you heard of the Gap Band?
No, I heard
group?
Of Black Wall Street, though, but I haven't
oh,
heard
okay.
of
Black
the Gap
Greenwood
Band.
Is Black Wall Street. And, you know, as I was saying, that was formed on a time when none of those opportunities that we have today were available for black folks. That was the
But that was government issue, though, right?
It was government issue that they went there, but
right.
you have to
so the people
the
didn't necessarily
didn't
want it, but the government enforced it, right?
No, they didn't enforce it. That was they settled on land where I'm talking about the civilized tribes and the Trail of Tears and where basically these Indian tribes were relocated to in Oklahoma. They settled there.
Right.
But what happened was these group of black folks were forced to work together because of segregation and the, racism in America. So what they
How
what
long
it
ago
does
was that,
what
brother?
Did that was 1906.
That's a long damn time ago, bro. We've came a long way since then, man.
That's right, but these guys did it under more overt racism than you see today. That's the point
right,
I'm
Right, that's because it was almost 100 years ago. Right,
it's
changed a lot over then. Yeah.
Right. So they had a community that was thriving, that was self-contained under
right.
those conditions. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Black Wall Street was basically destroyed by all the white community, right?
No, it was destroyed by the government. White people don't own nuclear bombs and shit. They don't do that. Yeah.
No, it wasn't nuclear bombs. It was bombs from airplanes. The white guys basically...
Right. The government
right.
owned them. Regular white people didn't
right.
have airplanes and shit to go drop bombs somewhere. They didn't have that money. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, not in them days.
I think it wasn't bombs from planes like that. It was like bombs from a plane that you tell a sharecropper, I get my plane, I drop.
Yeah, it was the government.
Like they did in Philly. Well, but the point is this, that these people thrived under those conditions. And my point is, why I like to use that as an example because, hey, it's not that hard as this now. You know what I'm saying? This was a time when you could get strung up and nobody did nothing about it.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And,
right.
But these people thrive. That's the point I'm making. And in terms of black economics, they helped each other. The money changed hands. They say 19 times before leaving the community. Because, but where's that kind of a thing happening like now? Can we get that going now? And, you know, like your brother said, you're not going to save everybody. But
yes, sir.
If a ship is sinking, do you really expect to save everybody on the ship?
Well, the problem is with that, brother, is that the ships that everybody think is sinking or that could be sunk, you dig? It's about a very small percentage. Even back then, you dig, in slavery times, my dude, there's a very small percentage of Americans that actually owned slaves, and most of them was in the South. Like, you dig, that's why a lot of runaway slaves went up north, you dig, because they weren't doing that shit up there. So what happened is, and matter of fact, nowadays, you dig, in 2019, you dig, like, there's a very even smaller percentage of people that's still alive that had ancestors that actually owned slaves. Because most of them died off. Their family has already died off, and they didn't pass it down anymore. So what happened is nobody tells them that shit. So what happens is they keep blaming the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. They didn't even know our answer. We didn't know shit about them. We trying to
right.
figure out the system same as everybody else, you dig? We trying to make a goddamn living, too, you dig what I'm saying? So what happens is all these goddamn fake-ass leaders get in your head and shit, but this nonsense, you dig? It divides everybody in the country when really the government was the problem to begin with. Especially with Jim Crow. That was a government law that passed. But there was a lot of people that lived under Jim Crow that's still alive that'll tell you, bro, most white people didn't want that. The government enforced it. You dig what I'm saying? There was a lot of black and white people that got along during Jim Crow, but the government enforced them to be segregated. So what happens is the government comes in and enforces these goddamn laws and shit because of a very small percentage that had influence And then all that shit came to pass. But most white people and black people got along for the most part back then. It's just the government enforced these laws to where that you couldn't drink at the same water fountain, you could use the same bathroom. And what happens is the history books and the media show us videos of racist, a very small percentage of racist white people that was beating people up at water fountains and shit. They try to make it like it was some big epidemic back then, my dude, but it's not true, bro. Like, most people didn't really want none of that shit to go on. You dig? People just consider people as individuals, you dig? And if they liked you, they liked you. If they didn't, then they didn't. You know what I'm saying? The same way it is nowadays, bro. Like, I don't like everybody. I don't like everybody either. I'm pretty sure that you don't either. You dig what I'm saying? So back then it was the same way. But what happened is government came through with laws. You dig what I'm saying? So people had to abide by those. And what they did was they showed videos of those very small
Okay, you're fading. Hello?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Yeah, my bad.
Okay, you faded. I didn't hear it. Okay, you went away there for about a couple of seconds. Okay, so, all right, so government or white people or black people or whatever the situation is, black businesses, in your opinion, should we support black businesses? Should blacks support black businesses? Should black businesses support the black community? In your opinion, what do you say?
Yeah, I feel like if black people will get out of pop culture and out of Hollywood, they'll support a lot more black businesses starting locally. Yes, sir.
Okay. And what about our black businesses supporting black?
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying. Yeah, black people stop supporting Hollywood people and, you know, and all these rich-ass people that don't give a fuck about you, you start supporting local businesses that are black-owned, will be better off.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, so that works. So that's why I use Greenwood or Black Wall Street as a good example, because they did it under conditions where it was a very unlikely conditions for them to that wasn't just a black community. That was a thriving black community. You understand what I'm saying? That wasn't
exactly
just some black folks, living over there. That's not what I'm
talking
about.
Yeah, but
what
year was that again? Would you tell me the year was
1906. 06.
Right, that was a long, 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 long time ago. But the shit ain't the same no more. Now black people can start businesses, and you ain't got to worry about getting bombed in your own city. You ain't got to worry about that anymore. So that's not a fair comparison. Those people actually
No. It's not a comparison. It's an observation of how people who under
100 years ago, yes, sir.
That were overt.
Yeah.
No, listen. How people worked together to promote and support black business and black business.
Okay,
right. Black community.
Okay, I got you.
That's what this is about.
Absolutely. Yeah, it should be the same today, though, except the fact that people keep referring to 100 years ago, which is okay, you dig, as far as principles go. They had the right principles back then. But what happens is when you try to tell people in 2019 what happened in 19 whatever back 100 years ago, their brains get crosswired and shit, though, because now we're starting to look at shit that happened back then that ain't happening now, when people get scared to do anything nowadays because you keep referring back to them when people was getting shot up and shit, and it done changed. So you need to quit putting fear in people's heads and tell them, bro, do the shit. You ain't got nothing to worry about. You got constitutional rights, all that damn shit these days. 2019, bro. Do whatever the hell you got to. Go through the struggle and start your business. You ain't got to worry about getting bombed on your own street. It ain't the same,
but
I understand the principle.
Yeah, it's not about bombs.
That.
It's about unity. The story is about unity, not about
absolutely
cops being bombed.
I respect
the story.
I don't respect the comparison from then to now, though. That's a long time. But I do respect the principles they had back then. I do respect that.
Right, that's
part.
What we're
I get
talking
you.
About.
Yeah.
We're
right,
talking about
so
black collective, black, successful black collective economics.
Yeah, there's no reason they shouldn't do that today. They got all the right in the world to do that.
That's
in this country.
The
they got
I'm
all
making.
The right. Yeah, right. Yes,
right.
Sir. Yes, sir. No
right.
reason they
so
can't
let
do that.
You can do it. We can do it. I mean, we have the resources to do that now, but they're just not together. You're not united. We're not united, so everything's
yes,
fragmented.
Sir.
So it's
absolutely,
there,
man.
But it's just not gonna, it's not happening.
Yeah, the government tries to divide us and shit as people of America, man, but the government's divided. We not. We don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? You start a good damn business, my dude. Hey, bro, we all up in your shit. You dig what I'm saying? The government tries to tell us to hate each other and shit, and all these fake-ass leaders and shit that put shit in our heads. Man, the people of America don't got no problem. You know what I'm saying? It's all the government and, you know, all these fake-ass people that, the real ones, man, bro, we going to be all right. You understand me, though? Like, it's okay, man. They be trying to fuck with our heads and shit, bro. they got to stop it. We all right. All
right. So what would you give, what message would you give to people in the black community in terms of starting a business?
Absolutely. My first damn advice would be to quit thinking that there's some big white devil that's going to come eat your head off when you get successful. First off, don't believe that lie that the motherfuckers tell you that they try to control you and shit. Don't do that, brother. Be a free thinker. You dig? And absolutely understand and study your rights as an American citizen. The Constitution has been changed over time to protect everybody that's legally over here. You dig? Learn your Constitution, brother. Learn your legal rights, bro. You dig what I'm saying? And stop listening to these goddamn fake-ass hateful preachers. Stop listening to these fake-ass hateful politicians that want to keep you as a victim so you could be up under their wing and shit to get votes for them and all that goddamn shit. Stop doing all that dumb shit. Focus on your business. You got a product. You dig? Put that shit out there to the masses, bro. You got a right to do that. You dig? Can't nobody stop you, dog. Like, don't let them tell you that somebody going to eat your head off at the top that look like me. Don't believe that whole white devil. Don't do that, brother. If you buy into that shit, you'll never be successful in this world at all. And I wish black people would stop doing that, my dude. Do not buy into that shit that there's some white devil at the top that's going to bite your head off when you get there, my dude. No. Be competition for him, brother. Get into the business. You got a right to do that, brother. Hey, bro, compete. Compete in the free market, my dude. We the only damn country that has free. Bro, compete in the free market. Do your shit. And if you're talented enough, brother, you will make it. Look at Damon Giant. Owner of FUBU, brother, he was a black-owned business. Dude, like, look at the shit. If you compete in the business, you'd be all right. Stop letting these goddamn fake-ass people, these racist motherfuckers on black and white sides tell you that you can't make it because there's some white society that's going to shut you down as soon as – don't believe in that, bro. Go for your gusto. Stop bullshitting with politics, my dude. You're going to fuck your life off. Go for the gusto.
Okay. Anyone listening, I hope y'all there's some inspiration from my brother, Jay, right? Jay from Georgia, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's some inspiration there. So there's no substitution for self-investment, self-edification, self-motivation, self-educating, self-supporting. Like it or not, we exist in an economic power grid in a world jungle. It is a predation. Is it predation? If not more than any natural jungle, simply because the predators never tire of devouring prey, depraving and exploiting the weak and challenging the strong. There can be no unity in chaos, and there can be no peace. So we have to work together. We got to stop preying on each other. Because what I see is a lot of, at the grassroots level, in the community that I see, is a lot of people preying on each other. There is no unity. It's just chaos. And you have different sects, groups of people who are trying to create this community unity and things like that. And then there's this chaotic element just destroying the neighborhood. So we must rise from the ashes of the dead and be counted amongst the living. We must seek common goals and objectives that are particular to us. We must not become perpetrators of iniquity, be honest, trustworthy, and dependable. Remember, hiring black entrepreneurs and that sometimes they might not do a good job, but it's not because they're black. Quality of work, you know, that they do has nothing to do with the color of their skin.
Yes, sir.
Poor craftsmanship and business practices have no racial or gender boundary. My message to black businesses and entrepreneurs is that you provide a service at a reasonable price and that you are capable of doing the job well and follow up with your work, especially when you get that call after you have been paid for the job. Because that's one of the major complaints of some people, that some people come in, want half of the money, bam, don't come back. Some people don't finish the job, don't do a good job, something goes wrong with what they did, they don't return the call, things like that. So that's at the grassroots level. That's at any level, really. You know, you should be, you know, a competent person. If not a responsible person for the work that you do. That's at the grassroots level, and I don't care if up to the corporate level, be responsible for the work, the services that you provide for people, because that's very important that we able, that the public is able to trust you. Most people don't.
Can I give you a shout out, brother? Can I
pick
you up real quick or what? Yeah, I want to pick you up, my dude, because a lot of the times, dude, when I try to have these real conversations with people, bro, on either side, man, they demonize me, they cuss me out, they yell at me. You did. They put mute on my phone. You didn't do none of that. And I respect the fact that I was able to come on here. You did and give my views on things. You know, and didn't nobody hang up on me. Nobody cussed me out. Brother, you don't understand how damn golden that is, my dude. You don't understand, bro, how golden that is in 2019 to be able to have a damn platform that somebody can come on here and give you their values and their views, and nobody has to cuss them out and demonize them and hang up. Like, you don't understand how golden you are right now, brother. You got such a damn positive soul, my dude. Like, when somebody comes on here and talks sense, I mean, bro, you don't understand, my dude. You did me so good tonight, though, because I done been on plenty of shows, bro, where they demonize me so bad, dude, for literally speaking like I am right now. You did.
Wow.
You don't understand, brother, how you going to be all right, brother. Because as long as you embrace capitalism, and anybody that don't believe in capitalism, let me tell them this. Go to any other country, my dude, and try to start a damn business. Either you're going to have super high damn taxes or you're going to get killed. Go to any other country and try to start a business like you can in America, and I guarantee you, you will not be happy. Go try it. Mm. And if you make it work, you did. Come back and tell me, though, so I can get it right. Come tell me. But I guarantee that. But I'll put money on it. It'll not work as sweet as it would in America. Go try it out. You did. Everybody want to talk shit that they ain't done tried yet. You dig what I'm saying? Go try it out, bro. Then come back and talk to me, though. You dig? But I guarantee you're not going to be happy. But, brother, I salute you, bro. You literally listened to me. You dig? You didn't interrupt me, overtalk me. This was a very dope radio show, my dude. You don't understand how rare shows like yours is these days and times, my dude. Nowadays, if you have a different opinion, they literally beat you down verbally and hang up on you and call you off on the name. You're a very solid brother, dog. I got to tell you that, my dude. And me being a white dude calling to your soul, I was already expecting to get cussed out. Dude, you were very respectful. You got a good sense in your head. You dig what I'm saying, brother? You look at shit from a common sense standpoint. Brother, your parents did all right, bro. Let me tell you that, my dude. They raised a good man. Hey, bro, you did good.
Thank
hey,
you.
Man, this was a good show. Absolutely.
Thank you. And I appreciate you calling in. Your opinion is
yes, sir. Thanks for having me on the line, man.
Okay. Okay, so we have about 5 more minutes for that. And I just want to say, you know, to anybody that's listening, you know, feel free to call in. Your opinion, you know, is greatly appreciated. As I just told the brother, you know, this is a place for the average Joe to speak. And we all don't think the same things. You know, all are not of the same opinion. And, you know, so we have to, you know, respect other people's opinion. You have to listen, you know, because they might have something that might, a light bulb might go off in your head. So you never know who's talking or from which message might come to you or something motivates you or anything like that. And then, you know, as for as many people as we have those many voices. And unfortunately, I can't have everybody talk on the show, but we'll try to allow as many people that want to express themselves on the show, because that's what the show is for. This is a show for the average Joe. I guess I could change the name to Average Joe. But, you know,
you awesome,
this
bro.
Is for you to talk.
You awesome. You awesome,
this
bro.
Is for you to talk. That's what the show is for. And, I appreciate anybody that has the guts to come on a radio show and talk. You understand what I'm saying? So... it ain't easy, like you said. You know, you never know what you're going to get on a radio show, you know. So,
you're real about it, though, brother. You're very real about it. And the fact that you do that, man, you will have a lot of more callers, dude, simply for the fact that you don't cut people off, you don't cuss at them and don't hang up on them. Bro, you don't understand how damn rare you are right now, my dude. You're a damn diamond in the rough. You don't understand that shit. I really don't think you understand that, bro. You are so rare right now, this shit is blowing my mind. You're very rare.
All right.
Very
all right, Jay from Georgia, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. I appreciate it, the compliment, and just stay tuned next week and the week after that and the week after that, God willing. And for that, I'm going to have to say good night. because we're running out of time. I want to thank everybody for calling in, listening in, anybody to download the show. Remember, you can download the show anytime you would like to, and We Talk Productions. And I want to thank Kenny Jones again, who co-producer of the show. Until next time, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace, y'all.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.